If you would, turn with me to Matthew 16. Look at a few verses here, starting with verse 13. But I listened to a message earlier in the week by our brother Gabe, and I actually listened to it about two or three times. And the title of his message was, "Who is Jesus Christ?" I didn't take his outline, but the Lord has had me thinking on that the whole week. When Paul texted me yesterday and asked me to bring the message, this was the one that came to mind to prepare for. I don't know. We could preach for a lifetime and still not declare completely who Jesus Christ is. And if you get a chance, listen to Brother Gabe's message, because it is, as you know, he's a very good preacher. The Lord has really blessed him to preach and declare the word of God. But in this message, in chapter verse 13 in chapter 16 of Matthew, he says, "When Jesus Christ came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And in his day, the disciples answered, said, 'Well, some say there are John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' And that's the same today in our day and time. Men are out here speaking of a Jesus that's meek and mild. They're speaking of a Jesus that died for everyone. They're speaking of a Jesus that just, he made salvation possible, now it's up to you. But that is not the God we worship. And, you know, this time of the year, everybody's got their nativity up. They've even started doing live nativities, which I'm sure our Lord hates that. But our Jesus is not a baby. He is sitting at the right hand of God. And he sits there with power." And then he went on to ask his disciples, which this would be the answer for his disciples, his believers, the people that he showed who he is. He asked, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter spoke up and answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This story is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in all three, they give just a little bit different wording. It's the same thing, though. In Mark, it says, "You're the Christ." And in Luke, it says, "You're the Christ of God." And that Christ is, he's the Messiah. He's the one that's been foretold of all through the Old Testament that he's coming. And now here in the Gospels, he's here. He's there. And then in the rest of the epistles, the Acts and the epistles and the rest of the Revelations, he's coming again. He's not coming he's not going to be born of a woman again and have to live on this earth again to rule. He's already ruling. He's coming back next time to take his own and destroy this world. And we're going to see, and I want to ask that question at this point, who is Jesus Christ? And I want to look a little bit through the Bible with what the Lord gives me and the ability to be able to do it, but sort of see who Jesus Christ actually is. And the first place we need to go is Colossians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 15. It said, "Who is the image of the invisible God. As Christ, he's the image of the invisible God. And he's the firstborn of every creature. Before God created man, God was, God is, and he says, I am. And he says, for by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in the heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Well, wait a minute now. This is Jesus Christ. His name didn't appear until Matthew. And Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Jesus Christ must be God. He is God. He's not separate from God. I mean, men like to use, there's God the Father, and then there's the Son, and then there's the Holy Ghost. But it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Those three are one. There's three different forms. God is spirit. Jesus Christ is a human form, or what humans were originally created to be like before sin. And the Holy Ghost is the one that brings the Spirit upon us to declare who Christ is and show us and reveal us Christ. But Christ is God. I don't understand how the three can be one, but they are. And knowing that this is God, that Jesus Christ is God, he's our Lord. He's spoken of all through the Old Testament, starting in Genesis 3. After man had sinned, first thing God did was declare that he's sending them a Messiah. He's sending them a Savior. He's the woman's seed. He'll be born of a virgin. He couldn't be born of man because man is sin. But a woman don't have seed. That has to be from God. So that's a miracle that Christ was born. He was from the beginning of time, from beginning before that. I mean, God always was, always is. And he created everything. And then he came in the form of a man for salvation of his people, to save his people. His name in Matthew 1, it says that we shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's the reason his name is Jesus. His Savior. You know, my understanding is the Hebrew of that, this is Greek name is Jesus. In the Hebrew, it was Joshua. And how much is Joshua a picture of Christ? Leading his people all the way along into the promised land. Exactly what Jesus Christ does for us, leading his people. In Genesis 22, he's the lamb provided. Isaac asked, where is the lamb? He understood at that point. God had spoken down through and showed his people that they needed a lamb to be sacrificed, a substitute for their sins. And in Genesis 22, he is that lamb. He's the lamb that was provided as the substitute for Isaac so that Isaac didn't have to die on that altar. And he's our substitute. Lord Jesus Christ is our substitute, that we don't have to stand before God and determine or stand before God and and have our sins exposed. In Exodus 12, he's the blood on the door because of his blood. Our Lord said in Exodus 12 that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We need to be covered with that sin offering, that blood. Our sins cannot be. If the Lord sees one of our sins, we're guilty of all of them. Everyone from the day we were born till the day we die. But with that blood, he covers his people and will stand in Christ. And there, our God said he won't see our sin. They'll be put as far away from the east as they are from the west. In Genesis 6 and 7, he's the ark. He's the ark. All that are found in him are saved. Our God chose one man in his family out of that wicked generation to put him in an ark. He shut the door. He called all the animals in he wanted to save. And he saved them. And that's exactly the way he saves his people. Is he calls people out of this wicked generation. He shows them and reveals himself to them. And they will glorify his name from then on for the rest of their life as long as he keeps them. And if he keeps us, we're kept. In Isaiah 40, says he sitteth on the circle of the earth. He is. He made the earth and he sits on it. He's got dominion over this earth. In John 3, he's the brass serpent. He must be lifted up. Even as that serpent was lifted up. He had to come to this earth. He had to die. He had to be put on that cruel cross, shed his blood for our sins. Without it, there's no remission of sins for sinners. And in John 1, let's turn there with me. Said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. There again, it just affirms that Jesus Christ is God. That's hard to grasp. God, manifest in the flesh, walked this earth, was tempted in all points as we were. That's what Hebrews told us. He understands our needs because he was touched with our infirmities. He didn't succumb to the sin like we do, but he was tempted in all points like we are. He resisted that temptation. He put the devil behind him. And He is our salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. In Isaiah 6, his name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. This is who Jesus Christ is. His name is Wonderful. Before the Messiah's name was determined or shown in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. His name was Wonderful. And the story of Samson's birth, when he came to Manoah and his wife, his name was Secret. He came to Abraham in the form of a man and told him about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's after the order of Melchizedek. I looked that up. I was reading some about that in the Hebrews, what Paul wrote. And over in chapter 7, Melchizedek, there's no mention of him. He says he's without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. I mean, that was Jesus Christ. He had no mother, no father. You know, he had no beginning of days. He'd always been. And in Hebrews 7:1, it says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave him a tenth part of all." He had to be from God if Abraham, a believer, was giving money to him. And then it says, "First being by interpretation, he was king of righteousness." It's not our God, the king of righteousness. He is our righteousness. And he's the king of Salem, which is king of peace. He is our peace. He is our hope. And then in John chapter 10, he says, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." There again, there's God the Father and there's God the Son. But those two are one. My Father sits right here in front of me. Me and him are a lot alike. But we're not one. We're two individuals. We agree on a lot, and we disagree on others. God the Father and God the Son disagree on nothing. They are one. They are the same. And God came to this earth, walked this earth as a man. God who can't go without punishing sin came here to be Savior of sinners. He walked this earth. He was accused of heresy, blasphemy, because he said he was God. He was hung on a cross and his blood was shed. But that was all. He had to lay his life down. God had purposed for it to be done. And he laid his life down willingly for his people. That was God hanging on that cross. That was our Savior hanging on that cross. And he rose again. Man can't raise his own dead body. But God can lay his life down and raise it up again. He has the power. He is all powerful. And then, won't you read 1 Corinthians 1 with me? Just a few verses. Start with verse 22. It says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews it's a stumbling block. Unto the Gentiles, or the Greeks, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, it's Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Jesus Christ is the power of God. He's the wisdom of God. It says, 25, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty." It says here that God's foolishness is wiser than men's. His weakness is stronger than men. Men like to think they have a part in something. Men are nothing. We are a created being, and our Creator does with us as He pleases. And He died, the just for the unjust. Men have it all wrong. They claim that God should save man. No, God should send all men to hell.
Amen.
God chose to save a few. Didn't say not any, said not many. He chose to save a few from their sins and keep them and deliver them before the throne of our God. And we will worship Him the rest of our days. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide Himself a lamb. He is that lamb, and He provided that lamb be slain for us. He's Jehovah Ra. He's the Lord is my shepherd. As long as He is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's the Lord our righteousness. As our righteousness, we don't need to look to anything in ourselves. We only need to trust and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. If He's our righteousness, we have no righteousness in ourselves. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Read Philippians 2 with me. Start with verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." He is that prophet. He is that priest. He is that king. "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's the same thing we've been talking about the whole time. Jesus Christ. He gets all the glory, or he gets none of it. He saves his people, not everyone. If he saved everyone, everyone is saved. But he didn't save everyone. And this generation shows that he did not save everyone. But he has a remnant. As bad as things look in this world, he has a remnant. He still has his people in it. And he's considering this earth is still going, and this world is still going, he's bound to have more sheep out there that he's got to call. He's got to have more. And then if we go back to our text in Matthew 16, after Simon Peter had answered him, or said that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ shows us that he is Lord, that he is God, that he is in control, that he does it all, we are blessed people. And we're not blessed because of anything we've done. We're blessed because the Father hath revealed it to us. That is our only hope of salvation, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, I'm not sure whether I ever knew this or just had forgotten it. But in verse 18, it says, And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. In John 1, verse 42, Peter, by interpretation, is stone. Small, little stone. But then it says, And upon this rock, Christ is that rock, I will build my church. God used the means that he's done. He's planned everything from the beginning of time, and it's coming to pass as he planned it or foreordained it, that Christ would be this rock that he'd build his church upon. The church is Christ's saved people that he has chosen and saved and put in Christ. And if we're on that rock, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have nothing to fear. We need to rest on that rock, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Savior. And he is foremost God. And that's all I have. So may the Lord bless it.